Today's podcast, I'm sitting with Dr. Corey Keller, assistant professor of orthopedic surgery and sports medicine at Temple University Hospital, and we're going to talk about sideline management. Thanks for talking with me today.
Thanks for having me.
So one of the things I wanted to ask just to start things off, and this is sideline management for the orthopedic resident or physician who's covering, let's just say, like a football game. What are some of the general things that you would recommend that someone doing this for the first time be prepared for? What kind of staff are ordinarily going to be there, and what kind of staff and equipment is not there, and what's the general expectation that somebody who's covering a high school or college football game and is helping out, that they should be prepared for?
So, yeah, obviously you can cover a lot of different sports that require physician coverage, but football is the most prevalent requiring physician coverage. But also at the game would typically be an athletic trainer whose expertise is in musculoskeletal complaints for the most part. So as a physician, number one, I would say you probably know the same information and looking for the same pathology from an orthopedic standpoint as that athletic trainer, but you may be leaned upon more heavily for emergent issues, especially medical issues. Other people that'll be there very typically would have an ambulance there to be able to help you take care of those medical issues. And then the regular personnel from, obviously the players and the parents and the coaches and the referees. And I think it's pretty important that you are prepared and understand who is who prior to the game, and that those individuals also know who you are as the physician. You don't want to be having that question during an emergent situation that's arising.
I think it's important that at least introductions are made and some very basic communications. That's a really good point. I think I learned that the first time I had to cover a game. What about a bag, equipment bag? If I'm covering a football game and I'm the only doctor presumably there, what would you say I should pack in the bag that I bring with me? I've been told things like you should have some type of tool or device to remove a face mask. You should have a laceration kit, and that a lot of the really, really basic stuff the athletic trainer mostly will have. What would you suggest to be on hand?
That's a really good question. I think my first response would be contact the athletic trainer and find out what they have. It's certainly different when you cover a collegiate football game and you're in a stadium that has access to x-ray and probably an entire cabinet of supplies versus a high school football game where the athletic trainer probably has the appropriate devices to remove a face mask. Sometimes those vary from face mask to face mask within a team. But then you as a physician certainly being able to probably some sort of suture kit would be great, and obviously the appropriate medications to use to provide anesthesia, like all the little things that you take for granted from an office, to make sure you have sterile supplies in order to take care of them. Sometimes people have their bags are quite extensive. They are able to, they have equipment in order to be able to intubate. They have oxygen with them, but obviously that's not a basic requirement, and there should be an ambulance present that'd be able to help out with that. Sometimes people have other medical supplies, such as an albuterol inhaler for kids with asthma, things like that. But the basic things that you'd be called upon routinely would might be with a suture kit or a stethoscope, essentially, or are the nuts and bolts of what you would need. But you want to clarify with the athletic trainer so that you know if you need to bring anything more extensive, or maybe they have those exact things already supplied for you.
Okay, yeah, that's great. I think stethoscope is a good tip because certainly a lot of the people listening to this are orthopods and they don't have stethoscopes. So that's a good thing to remind us to have on hand, because that's what people expect a doctor to have. What would you say are one of the biggest mistakes you see made by junior physicians, residents, for instance, people covering a football game for the first time? Maybe you can tell me from example or just sort of repeated things you see mistakes being made. How would you answer that?
I would say show up early, number one. Show up early, make sure that you have all the proper introductions, introduce yourself to the athletic trainer. You want to be there very early to meet the coach if you don't know the coach, so that he or she knows who is examining their athlete, making decisions on return to play, so that in the heat of the moment they don't say, who are you? So I highly advise you to get there early, especially if you're not familiar with the stadium, the team, the coach. That all helps. I think it helps to introduce yourself to the referee, so that if something needs to be done quickly, that you're also, it's understood who you are. And also introduce yourself to the ambulance staff, because that's where a lot of situations become difficult, knowing who's in charge when the athlete's still on the field and has not actually been transported at that point. When's the handoff going to occur? Who's in charge from one moment to the next, from a physician to the ambulance staff? And I would say you also want to be there early to review the EMS protocol with the athletic trainer to ensure when an injury occurs, who's going to go out on the field, and specifically with C-spine precautions, with a cervical spine injury, who's doing what, who's going to be where, because then you don't have to ask questions while you're in the middle of it, and also you would not compromise your authority as a physician when you're asking questions on the field.
Okay, yeah, that's pretty helpful. I mean, it circles right back to what you said was the first thing, I guess, to being prepared, was just making sure, you know, you're working in an environment that you're not accustomed to on a daily basis, so you're a little bit out of your element, although I guess your knowledge and skills should translate as long as you allow yourself to be functional by letting everybody know who you are and you know who everybody is. I think that makes a lot of sense. What are some, if you can think of, what are like maybe a couple of specific examples you've seen that haven't gone well, that you kind of afterwards decided, you know, could have been done differently or better, or lessons learned?
Sure, yeah. Specifically related to reviewing the emergency action plan ahead of time with the athletic trainer, I can tell you from experience that one time I had an athlete go down on the field, and I had not reviewed the cervical spine protocol with the athletic trainer. It was the very first time we were working together, and ironically, we worked together a lot more after that, but an athlete went down on the field, actually right in front of me, and I stabilized the cervical spine on the field, and once I was there, I was kind of stuck there, obviously, had to maintain the cervical spine, but as the kid started to have some complications, had some difficulty with breathing, we had to remove his jersey and face mask, and we were actually worried about, we actually got out the defibrillator in case he was going to have a problem, and I realized at that point when the crowd of people started to form, I was the physician, I was the head of the team, but I was stuck at the head of the athlete and not able to mobilize, I wasn't able to go get a stethoscope, I wasn't able to sort of control the environment, and my recommendation is review that emergency action plan ahead of time to know the basic idea of who has the head, as we say, to make sure that, and my recommendation is have the athletic trainer do that. They've done that before. They know the athlete, and they can talk to the athlete right in close proximity to them, while you as a physician can get a stethoscope, can reassess the situation, and also maintain order during an emergency. So that would be a major recommendation, and I can tell you, I learned from experience. So the kid turned out okay, but I definitely learned from that process.
I guess one thing I would also add to that is know who to call for help, and I guess make sure if you're inexperienced that you know when to call for help and who potentially your backup is, and certainly, you know, an ambulance on hand for football games is nice to have, as long as you utilize them when you need them. So any other last tips or suggestions you want to make, or teaching points?
Yeah, again, I guess it goes to preparation again. I mean, you know, we're dealing with orthopedic residents and obviously get excited about taking care of fractures, seeing a fracture on the field. I would say my recommendation, don't be overzealous with what you can possibly reduce on the field. Just remember, like, what is the closest trauma facility that is within the region, so that you know how quickly you may or may not be able to get that patient to the appropriate provider, and whether or not it's worth risking like some sort of manual reduction of a fracture on the field or a dislocation. I think that's really important. I think it's a very common scenario. So knowing how much time you would have and what the nearest facility is, who your backup is, as previously discussed, those are all very important things impacting the decisions that you make right there on the field. So I think, again, preparation leads to easier decision-making when you're out there.
Okay. Well, I think it seems like preparation is the name of the game. Well, thank you very much. I think that'll wrap this one up, and appreciate your time.
Thank you.